Chapter 15. Lord Gilliman's Decree. The day after the attack on the Orkmoon, the Space Marines of the Last War prepared to receive Lord Gilliman Udin MacDudo with as much ceremony and pomp as if he had in truth been the Primarch himself. They waited on the embarkation deck of the Abhorrence in full war gear. Udo's magnificently decorated shuttle pierced the integrity field of the Portal Majoris and came into land upon the golden Aquila, painted specially for the purpose, at the centre of the deck. The landing ramp descended, disgorging 50 Lucifer Blacks in gleaming war gear. They jogged down an avenue of Space Marines made up from members of every company of every chapter in the Last Wall. Fist's Exemplar stood with Black Templars beside Iron Knights. Crimson Fists waited proudly alongside Excoriators. With these representatives of each chapter, there were nigh on 1,000 Space Marines present on the deck. At the end of this aisle, lined by ceramite, stood the commanders of the chapters, the captains and chaplains of every company, headed by their leaders, High Marshal Beaumont of the Black Templars, Chapter Master Issachar of the Excoriators, Chapter Master Cassadra of the Crimson Fists, Chapter Master Thane of the Fists Exemplar, First Captain Verpal of the Iron Knights, and Corland, Chapter Master and last member of the Imperial Fists. The Lucifer Blacks stamped shining boots in thunderous march down the ranks of Space Marines. They spread themselves out along the length of the way from Udo's ship to the Chapter Masters until they formed a cordon, one man wide. Then they rotated 90 degrees to face into the avenue, their final stamp echoing away into the empty spaces of the embarkation deck. For all the Lucifer Black's stern martial polish, there was something faintly ridiculous about this show of defence, as if all of them together could possibly hope to halt even 10 of the transhuman warriors should they decide to kill the Lord Gilliman. Corland pushed the implied insult to the back of his mind. More politics. Udo was making a show of his authority. To a fanfare of silver clarions, Udin MacDudo came down the ramp of his ship, surrounded by attendants and high-ranking officials of the Adeptus Terror. The train of his cloak was held from the ground by 6 blind auto-praisers whispering ceaseless prayers to the Emperor. Udo wore all the panoply of his office, a rich uniform stiff with brocade and frogging, a chest full of honours and medallions. Servo skulls buzzed out in a cloud over his entourage and swooped off in every direction. Cyber cherubs came after, 4 spreading out to hold a cloth of gold 2 meters over the Lord Gilliman, 2 more swinging censers which billowed oily blue perfumed smoke. This parade came to a halt before the Chapter Masters. The Sons of Dawn got down on 1 knee and bowed their heads. Udo clapped his hands and smiled.
"Rise, rise, loyal servants of the Imperium. You, the mighty sons of the Emperor, return to your father in the time of need, and you have not disappointed him."
The Space Marines got to their feet, dwarfing the Lord Gilliman. Unperturbed, Udo motioned for a cybernetic servant bearing a velvet-covered tray on which were arrayed multiple honor badges. A hooded adept came after and began to clamp the badges to the Chapter Master's armor.
"In recognition, this mark is designated the Defense of Terror. You shall be permitted to display it upon your armors and banners forevermore."
The adept approached Corland gingerly. With unsteady hands, he placed the award upon the bottom corner of his pauldron. The man was shaking with fear. Corland looked over the head of the adept at the crowd of servants behind Udo. There were 4 autoscribes, quill arms, scratching down an account of the event upon spools of paper spilling from chest boxes. There were others making records. Servitors with picked capture units for eyes and vox thieves for mouths. Several of the servo skulls hovered in place, glass eye lenses fixed on the Space Marines. They watched also, doubtless capturing the ceremony from other angles. "Another way to show power," thought Corland. "He comes aboard our ships, a statement of ownership." He wondered how many times these images would be displayed on the picked screens of the palace, in places like the Fields of Winged Victory, in the innumerable squares and plazas of Terror. How many times the news criers would shout out Udo's generosity. How many priests would read of how the lords of 6 Space Marine chapters demonstrated their allegiance to Terror on their knees before Udin MacDudo.
"And now, brave defenders of the Imperium," Udo said, holding his hands high in seeming blessing, we must convene a council of war. The Orc is not yet defeated.
A projection of Terra rotated lazily over a chart desk set into the middle of the strategium table, the Orc Moon its unwelcome companion. Through a long galleried window, the same scene could be seen in reality. The gathered might of 5 chapters sailed in tight formation around the moon. Wings of interdiction fighters shone bright as polished badges as they swooped over it, their numbers and flight paths reproduced as graphical ideograms over the light image. The chapter masters sat around the massive table. Udin MacDudo occupied a tall throne at its head, built up so that he might look the space marines in the eye. Behind him, a broad-winged bronze Aquila glowered down from the wall, its one-eye glare mirroring Udo's own.
"Those vessels taken from the merchant fleets that we could not retake, we have destroyed," Cassandra was saying. "Our combined forces inflicted significant damage throughout the moon. Our estimates are that 2/3 or more of the Orcs were killed. The outer surface has been stripped of weaponry. For the time being, the moon poses no significant threat. Chapter Master Corlin's expedition into the moon's core damaged a device that proved to be a long-range teleport array. Without it, the Orcs cannot reinforce themselves. They are cut off. This intelligence is of a higher significance for the prosecution of the war. The moon is not only an attack vessel, but a form of spatial gateway. I was informed by Fabricator General Kubik this morning," said Udo dismissively. "It has been noted. New strategies are being formulated. The question for now is, was it permanently disabled?" "We do not think so," said Thane. "The power supply was severely damaged, but deep Orspec scans show continued power fluctuations. The possibility remains that they may repair it."
"And then the problem will be as it was before, hundreds of thousands of Orcs moving in to directly attack Terra," said Issachar. "The capabilities of the gateway are unknown. They may be able to bring in replacement materiel and ships. The throne world remains vulnerable."
"There remains only one solution," said Corland. "We must attack again."
An aide handed Udo a data slate. He squinted at it a while, leaving the chapter masters to wait, then handed it back.
"No," he said forcefully. "Second Captain Corland of the Daylight Wall Company, you will not attack again. Not yet."
"We will leave it there," said Beaumont incredulously. "The last wall has been called. We come to Terra's aid, and you would deny the Emperor this victory?"
"Lord Beaumont," said Corland, "please, hear the Lord Gilliman out." "Listen to the second captain. He has some wisdom," said Udo.
Issachar's face darkened.
"Corland is a chapter master of the Adeptus Astartes, Lord Gilliman," he said. "He sits here with us in Brotherhood. It pains me to remind one of your exalted rank."
"I do not require your assistance," said Udo. "Corland is no chapter master. By the customs of his own order, if not directly nominated by the passing commander, potential successors to the office of chapter master of the Imperial Fists must be selected by the consensus of the chapter's chaplains and wall captains, and those favored with nomination voted for. In Corland's case, neither of these criteria have been met. How could they be? He is the only one," growled Beaumont, "the last Imperial Fist. Would the same stand if he were the last surviving neophyte?" said Udo. "I think not."
"He has been recognized as chapter master by us, the lords of the other Sons of Dawn," said Issachar. "He has led us in battle. He is worthy."
Udo spread his hands, neither dismissing or conceding the point.
"Far be it from me to deny the will of so many mighty heroes. Terra could conceivably allow such a selection, if it proved to be in the best interest of the Imperium." "The affairs of the Adeptus Astartes are our own," said Beaumont.
"But they are not, High Marshal," said Udo patiently.
"They are yours as far as any of the other Adeptus. You are, first and foremost, servants and subjects of a God Emperor, Lord of all mankind, a species of which, although your alterations perhaps stretch the classification, you are still a member, High Marshal. Your chapter forgets this fact a little too often.
Your fleets are unaccountable. Rumors persist of an excess of warriors under your command, and your actions have stirred up previously quiet Xenos races too many times.
We serve the Emperor, said Beaumont, not bureaucrats. Ours is a sacred mission.
We are the agents of the Emperor's will, countered Udo. Not some officio to be ignored. He lowered his voice. Your willfulness gives us pause. This gathering of yours was neither called for nor authorized. Now we have 3,000 space marines in orbit over the Golden Throne itself. What are we to make of that?
In the face of your incompetence, we have the throne world, and you come to accuse us of treachery,
said Kassadra in disgust.
You are the largest force of space marines assembled since the heresy, said Udo. We must be left in no doubt as to where your allegiances lie. Your success is welcome and applauded, but your unannounced arrival here in such strength has the Senatorum Imperialis in uproar.
If the Senatorum had proved a little more effective in governing and a little less in pursuing the interests of the senators, then we would not need to be here at all, and my brothers might yet live, said Corland quietly.
Udo pulled a face.
You see, it is words of that sort that fan the flames of my fears. Is that a threat, Second Captain?
We have no interest in usurping the Senatorum, said Corland.
He rose from his seat. Issachar grabbed his wrist, but Corland pulled free. He leaned over the table.
Is this why we were left alone to die upon Adamantua, because you are afraid of us? Did you expend the lives of the Imperium's staunchest defenders in political calculation?
I doubt much thought went into it at all, brother, said Verpal. That is the root of the problem here.
Yours is a simple breed, said Udo, bred for war. You think on nothing but matters of combat and honor. I have seen contempt for the common man too many times in the face of a space marine. You think yourselves intelligent, and you are, but you forget too often you are made for conflict, and conflict invariably follows in your wake. Leave the subtleties of government to those better suited, as the Emperor intended.
My Lord Malfons died to preserve your office, said Verpal. Do not insult us again.
There, you see, a veiled threat, another statement that forges my opinion the harder. You must listen to me. Do as I say, and we shall have no difficulty between us. Tomorrow, we will proceed to the surface, where you will be fated as the saviors that you are. Then, in the Senatorum Imperialis, you will renew your oaths of fealty to the Imperium. Then you shall be acknowledged as the Chapter Master of the Imperial Fists, Second Captain Corland, with the full will of the Senatorum. After which we shall formulate plans with the backing of myself, the Lord Commander Militant, Lord High Admiral Lansung, and the others, to end this crisis.
The Chapter Masters looked to one another. Kassadra drummed three crimson fingers on the table. Click, click, click.
What of the moon? Asked Corland. Kubik desires it to be left intact. So Terra dances to Mars's tune now, said Beaumont.
Udo gave him a hard stare. Beaumont returned it.
We have convened a meeting of the High 12, said Udo. There its fate will be decided. I urge you, my lord, it must be destroyed, said Corland. Whether or not it will be is a matter for the Lords of Terra. You will maintain your blockade until the Navy gathers in sufficient force to take your place. If you perform this task, none shall set foot upon the moon. The Fabricator General has agreed to withdraw his armies for the time being. The moon is under your custodianship. Beyond that, it is no longer your concern, said Udo evenly. You have pulled the orc's teeth. Bravo! It is time to let the organs of government decide the best course of action. Know this, Lord Chapter Masters. This fleet of yours cannot be allowed to remain whole. Your chapters shall each receive individual orders. With your might properly directed, we shall end the threat of this beast once and for all. There shall be no more need for such... He lifted a hand. Charming displays of confraternity.
The Space Marines shifted uneasily.
Yes, my lord, said Corland hesitantly. When you order its destruction, we shall be on hand to aid you in your task.
There is one last item I must inform you of, continued Udo. We cannot allow the news of the destruction of the Imperial Fists to be made public. Your return, Corland, will be the proof of the indomitability of the Adeptus Astartes of Dawn's line. You shall return from the dead to great fanfare. The orcs cannot defeat you, and so forth. I shall have a suitable story provided. You are only one, and that presents a problem. To circumvent this, each of you will provide from among your number wall guardians to man the palace, as the Imperial Fists always have.
They are not Imperial Fists, said Cassandra.
They shall be dressed in the livery of the Imperial Fists, said Udo. The populace shall know no different.
Our men will never give up their colours, exclaimed Issachar.
There will be no honour, no mention of my brother's sacrifice.
Corlin's face went pale.
This is an outrage.
This is politics, Captain, said Udo. In the aftermath of the moon's arrival, to inform the people that the Imperial Fists are nigh on extinct will send a wave of terror throughout the Imperium. Worse would be rumours, for they are pernicious and far harder to deal with than the shock of an announcement. Not a single word of this disaster must become public. You have my sympathy for your loss, Captain, but there are practicalities to consider.
Udo stood, holding up his hands to forestall disagreement.
You must forgive me. I return to the surface now. I have much to arrange.
The Lord Commander bowed sharply, leaving the Space Marines to stare after him as his aides and constructs filed out in his wake.
We will not break the fleet, said Beaumont.
We cannot defy him, said Cassandra.
We can, said Verpal. How can Udo possibly enforce the order? If we did refuse, he could do nothing. He would be forced to back down and concoct some story that cast him in a favourable light. More politics, spat Beaumont.
I cannot condone that course of action, said Corland. It is close to heresy.
We have no choice, said Issachar, if we are to save the Imperium.
A sentiment that has been voiced before, said Corland. Be careful of your thoughts, brother.